It can feel like U.S. history classes have gotten more contentious and political. In just the last 2 years, dozens of states have introduced bills to limit what teachers can say in the classroom about things like race and inequality. That's according to the New York Times. But are people actually divided over how to teach the country's history? Our next guest says way less divided than we might think. And he says we get a lot of stuff wrong when it comes to what people with different political views think about teaching American history. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you want to see U.S. history taught in schools? Do you think someone with different political beliefs would have a different answer than you? Do you feel like U.S. history classes are more contentious today? Has there been a controversy over how things are taught in your own community? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Dan Vallone is the U.S. Director for More in Common, a nonpartisan group that studies polarization. Their latest report is titled Defusing the History Wars, Finding Common Ground in Teaching America's National Story. Dan, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. It's great to be here.
Can you tell us a little bit about why your group tackled what you call the history wars in this new report?
Sure. So we have been doing research on how Americans think about American identity for the past several years, doing a lot of interviews and focus groups with Americans from across the country. And something we noticed earlier this year in 2022 was that the intensity that people described the conversations they were seeing in their community about how to teach American history was increasing, that things seemed to be getting much worse. People were referencing things they saw on television about various curriculum, or history was coming up more and more and more. And so we wanted to explore this to see what is the reality here, because clearly people are seeing a conflict and there's smoke, but is there actually fire there? And so that led us to then lead a series of national surveys to produce the report that you just referenced, which I'm happy to go more into detail, but that's the kind of origin story here.
And the nutshell, I think what can come out, I think, in the media sometimes when we go online is one side says, hey, that other side only wants to teach the negative stuff, the bad stuff about American history. The other side wants to whitewash and ignore all the bad stuff about American history. So you went out and asked people, what do you want to see in American history classes? There's a lot more agreement than I might have expected.
Your summary is absolutely right, Rob. Basically, most Americans overwhelmingly believe that we should teach both the good and the bad about our history. We should try and be fact-based and objective. We should scrutinize our failures, particularly those around racial injustice and discrimination, while also celebrating and elevating our successes and our story of progress. That is a non-controversial perspective that most Americans hold. But at the same time, most Americans are convinced that we are divided into two hostile camps with irreconcilable views on how to teach history. So we can't see this common ground, even though it is very significant and widely held.
Now, one of the most interesting parts of this report, as I read it, and it's a little hard to sum up easily, but you asked, you know, Democrats, what do you think Republicans want taught? And Republicans, what do you think Democrats want taught? And then compared it to what people actually said. Can you tease that out a little bit and spell out what you found when you did that?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Robin. It gets a little tricky sometimes. So this is what we refer to as a perception gap, which is the difference between what somebody actually believes and what I think they believe. So to take it to the simplest level, 93% of Republicans feel that Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks should be taught as exemplars who fought for equality. Democrats think that only 38% of Republicans hold that view. So that's almost an over a 50-point perception gap that Democrats have about Republicans' views. And the same phenomena we manifest in terms of how Republicans think Democrats want to see history taught. So 92% of Democrats feel that all students should learn how the Constitution and Declaration of Independence advance freedom and equality. But Republicans think that only 45% of Democrats feel that way. So again, a massive perception gap across the board in terms of how we misunderstand what other Americans want to see in terms of history being taught. And the issue with these perception gaps is it's not that we don't have disagreements. We do, and we get into them in the report, and they're important and they're significant. but we would be so much better able to grapple with our genuine disagreements if we could puncture these misperceptions, if we could reduce the toxicity that these kinds of misperceptions feed, because this is a really important topic. It's our national history. It's something that most Americans feel very strongly about. And so we really want to get at the actual substance of where we disagree and build on all the things that we agree on.
Talking to Dan Vallone with the group More in Common. Their new report is called Defusing the History Wars, Finding Common Ground and Teaching America's National Story. A lot about how we don't understand each other and what we want in schools. More agreement than we might think if we looked at arguments online or in the media. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts. What do you want to see taught in American history classes? Do you teach history? Has it been difficult for you to decide what you can and can't teach about? And do you think people, whoever you are, do you think people get your views on these things wrong? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, Dan, where does this misperception come from? What's driving this thing where we think everybody on the other side has the most extreme view we see on the other side?
Yeah, so we've done perception gap studies before. So this is a methodology that we've deployed previously. And what we typically find is that things like media sources, so the information that you consume, the news you consume, the television you watch, the social media sites that you spend time on, those all influence your views about what other Americans believe. Your social circle also has a huge influence, right? So what are you actually getting in terms of when you talk to people? Are you talking to people with different political views? Are you talking with people who hold the same view as yourself? So information sources, your social network are two of the biggest drivers typically of what forms our impressions about other Americans' beliefs. The interesting thing with this report, Rob, in previous studies, we found that there was a correlation between intensity of political engagement and the magnitude of perception gap. So basically, the more politically active somebody was, the larger their perception gap was on average. So the more inaccurate they were about other Americans' views. We didn't have that finding with this report. Everybody, irrespective of whether you are hyper-engaged in politics or not engaged at all, has roughly the same size perception gap, and they are all very large. So this entire debate is really anchored to a significant degree in complete misperception.
There are people who have these fundamental disagreements. You look at different social groups in the U.S., but you say when it comes to numbers, the people on the extremes of their opinions on how American history should be taught, they're in a substantial minority. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we produced a report in 2018 called Hidden Tribes, a study of America's polarized landscape, where we used a statistical process to identify seven distinct segments of the American population. So basically, we categorized Americans into these seven segments. And four of the segments we describe as the exhausted majority. And this is the majority of Americans. They hold more complex views. They're less political in their orientation to life, and they're less involved in politics. And then we have what we describe as the wings. So these are very vocal segments of the population who are particularly prominent on cable news, on social media, and in actual politics. So in this report on the history wars, what we find is that it is these wing segments whose voices and whose views are being mistaken as majority views for both the Democrats and the Republicans in this context. So again, very vocal minorities of Americans are being presented as the majority of Democrats and Republicans, when in fact that is not remotely true. And their views are significantly different from those of the exhausted majority, where we find abundant common ground.
And before we go to our callers, Dan, in addition to surveys, you did some in-depth interviews with nine Americans, sort of a deep focus group sort of in this report. What sorts of things did you hear from them?
Yeah, we always like to do a lot of qualitative research, a lot of focus groups and interviews, because it's so important to hear how Americans are actually experiencing this in their own words. A few themes emerged from these conversations. One is the real strong concern that there is an agenda, a political agenda at play here. And so, you know, Tina, which a white Republican woman from South Carolina, she's seeing news about critical race theory and about all these kind of anti-American curriculum efforts. And yet when she talks to her kid, who's a student, he has no experience with that. Nothing in the school is actually about that. And so she doesn't know what to believe anymore. And she's concerned there is an agenda at play. And similarly, when we talk to, you know, Democrats like Chanda, which is Indian American from Texas, you know, she doesn't want students to feel shame or guilt, but she wants to learn, and she doesn't want to have there be an agenda to prevent them from learning, even about things that we have failed. So this concern about political agendas really cuts across the ideological lines, and it's something we hear a lot. And then the second, and it's we touch on this a bit in the report, but this is always personal, right? So people, when we talk about American history, when you start asking people questions, their first response is typically about the country's history writ large. But then by the time they get into their second or third responses, they start sharing their personal history as well. And so I think when we work with our partners, we always want to help them think about bringing this down to family and individual stories, because that is what American history is ultimately made of. And nobody wants to have their own personal history be misunderstood. And they want to feel as if their history, the history of their families, et cetera, is being taught in a way that is authentic and represents the, you know, reality.
We're talking to Dan Vallone, U.S. Director for the nonpartisan research group More in Common, with us today to talk about a new report called Defusing the History Wars. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen history become a controversy in your own community? Or is that something you hear about on the news, but not a big deal where you live? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation, hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about perception versus reality when it comes to American history, how it's taught in schools, and what we think other people with different political views think about that issue. Dan Vallone is with us from the research group More in Common, looking at their recent report called Defusing the History Wars. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, maybe even your own experiences as a student or teacher or parent or you name it. Call 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. We've got Jeff with us in Superior. Hi, Jeff.
Hello. Happy New Year, gentlemen.
And to
you. Very good topic. Yeah, thank you. I learned at a very young age that we really carry our history with us. In the third grade, I was learning about the Suez Canal, and I came home, and my mother told me that my great-grandmother was an immigrant from Sweden who worked for Martin Patterson. And to me, that was a more interesting historical fact. And as I grew older, I started to explore more about local history, my own family involvement in it, as well as the national history. And I firmly believe that American history is not just political history, because Black history is American history, for example.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. Dan, I think tying it into that actually connects with what you were just saying about how people tie it into their own family stories and their own lives.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Jeff. And we hear that a lot in focus groups, how whatever theme in American history, people actually experience it most intimately through their own personal story or their own family story. And so although the debate often focuses on kind of abstract terms, a better way to disrupt the polarization is to try and ask people about their family stories, to get at these local stories, because it's much harder to politicize something when it's about families and individuals and when somebody feels as if their personal story is being heard and respected. And so, you know, one of the strategies we recommend to groups when you're trying to disrupt some of the polarization is take things out of the national context, place them in a local context, speak to family, speak to individual stories, and try and avoid having the national politics be the only thing that is discussed.
Jeff, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Jim is with us now in Racine. Hi, Jim.
Hello. Thank you. I wanted to make a comment about the survey that you just mentioned. I'm wondering if you drill down on that question, like you might find out that people had different ideas. For instance, well, people may want to say it's fine for someone to teach about Martin Luther King Jr., but what you got into what your Martin Luther King Jr.'s ideas, like civil disobedience or the evils of slavery and how how that persists in society today, that you get into those issues, they would not agree. So I wonder if your survey kind of drilled into more specific issues of the type of thing there seems to be, that they may not want those things taught.
I gotcha, Jim. Thanks for the call. And Dan, I've seen that concern before, that people are willing to accept what people say might be a sanitized version of, say, Martin Luther King Jr., and not, as Jim says, dig too deep into what he was calling for.
You know, it's a really important point, so thank you for raising it, Jim. And there's a phenomena that scientists call false concurrence, which is this idea that we would be presenting a false degree of agreement. And so what I would say is to a certain degree, yes, I think you're very right, Jim, that the more specific we would get, the more disagreement you would see happen in people's responses. That's a generalizable phenomenon in most kind of public opinion research. The more specific you get, you tend to lose some of the kind of agreement scores across the board. I think in this context, with Martin Luther King, for example, or about American history more generally, I think you are also right that as we got more specific about a particular curriculum, for example, you might see more disagreement. But and that's important, but I also would just caveat it to say, we're not even having those good disagreements right now. We feel locked in disagreements about whether or not we can teach the history of slavery, for example, whether or not we can teach about the Constitution and the way that it propelled the independence and freedom in the country and across the globe. And so what we are trying to do with this report is not to gloss over the real disagreements or to say that anything about this is simple, but it is to say we need to be having better conversations, both about the things that we actually disagree on, and it's always better to build on what you do agree on, which there is definitely more than people think exists.
Thanks for the call, Jim. We're talking to Dan Vallone from the group More in Common, looking at their recent report on how we teach American history in our schools. Back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Linda joins us now in Plymouth. Linda, hello.
Hello.
What did you want to tell us about?
Well, when your guest was speaking about when you share your personal story, it is difficult to make it political. And within my family, that is not the case. Because I was sharing because I'm going to write my personal story, how I worked through my trauma with my mother and how I healed that. And as I was starting to share that, they were thinking I was talking politically. And they got really mad, and it has caused a major, major rift, because they could not separate how I was feeling about my experience. They couldn't separate it from my personal experience about their political views.
Mm. Linda, thanks for the call. Dan, I mean, sometimes, things don't work out so smoothly, even when we start to talk at that family level.
No, and I appreciate that you sharing that, Linda. That must be very difficult. And it does speak to the fact that, you know, politics has so saturated so much of our life. It is hard to sometimes separate it out and create that space. And something that I think all, you know, community groups, civic groups, civil society more generally, we need to do more to create spaces where we can try and pull and create separation from politics and from conversations about how we teach history, for example.
Thanks again for that call, Linda. I want to take our last couple minutes, Dan, to talk about what we do about this. You've started to give us some hints along the way. How can we take this information about our misperceptions about each other and how we teach history and maybe dial down some of the smoke going on in a lot of our communities?
Yeah, sure. So there's just three. We provide a number of recommendations in the report, and so there's just three things that I'll highlight now. The first is I would encourage everyone to go to the website historyperceptiongap.us. We have a wide variety of resources to share, to circulate, because the first recommendation we have is we need to elevate these perception gaps to dispel the illusion. Basically, we want to highlight, like, oh, we have a lot of misperceptions that are fueling this debate and enabling what we refer to in the report as conflict entrepreneurs to pull us apart. So let's elevate the reality here and try and dispel some of these misperceptions. So would encourage folks to go to the website, download the resources, share them. and use them with in conversations in community. The second thing is that at the community level, we need to do more to build cross-cutting coalitions to establish better norms for how communities will debate issues that are contentious, like how to teach history. And so the best way to do this is to have Democrats, Republicans, independents, non-political folks band together to try and say, to say we don't agree on how to teach history, but we all agree that we need to set parameters for what is permissible and what's impermissible in terms of how we debate this. We're not going to allow any dehumanization. We're not going to allow any toxicity to come into our debate. And we're going to have a healthy dialogue and discourse about how do we teach history. And the third thing is at the individual level. And Rob, you actually spoke to this earlier in one of the prompts that you were saying, which is something to the effect of, do you feel like your views are misrepresented? Mm-hmm. And so when you're having these conversations, we really encourage, start with that prompt. Rather than saying, do you agree or disagree with X, Y, or Z issue, ask people, do you feel like your views are accurately understood by others? It kind of takes the tension out of the air and allows people to have a much more humane conversation.
Dan, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. Really enjoyed it. Appreciate it.
That's Dan Vallone. You too. That's Dan Vallone, U.S. Director for More in Common, a group that studies polarization. He was with us today to talk about a report the group released last month. It's called Defusing the History Wars, Finding Common Ground in Teaching America's National Story.